Yo, everybody, what's up? Johnny Cashmere here, back with the Spokecast. Tommy Grayson, Big 80s Donnie B in the house. What's up, y'all?
What up, buddy?
And JP, what's up, brother? All right, we're all here. Phil Stamper will not be here tonight. Chris Bristow will not be here tonight. Bunch of marks. You have other things to do. What's up, y'all, in the chat? I have a pretty big announcement to make. Just want to make sure everything's going good here before we, so we got a lot going on tonight, guys. We got Caleb Conley, the new Juggalo Championship Wrestling American champion, is going to be here a little bit later, you guys. The Obsession, Caleb Conley, a lot to talk about. Donnie, I don't know if you know about his history or not. Did you know that Caleb used to work at the High Spots offices?
Really?
Yes, I want to ask him about that.
So he must work with what's his name? The Boy Scout guy,
Man Scout.
I think he works for them. No, I love that guy. He's a great gimmick. We'll talk about.
Yeah, we're gonna have to ask him about it.
Yeah, yeah. And Colt has something to do with that, right? Colt Cabana, I think, has something to do with them.
Yeah,
almost positive.
You might be thinking of Pro Wrestling Tees.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Whatever he is, he made a lot of money on it.
Yeah. He sure did.
God bless him.
So no episode of Trip TV tonight. Last week was the season one finale of Trip TV. So there will not be an episode tonight, everybody. But we do have a pretty big announcement. I have actually a lot to announce right now. I want to wait till we get a couple more heads up in here because it's kind of a big deal.
So,
So, guys, other than that, what else do we have tonight? We got Caleb Conley, right? I sent Bufa the link. I don't know if Bufa will be here or not. Donnie, how was your week, brother?
It was great, man. Labor Day weekend's always, you know, bittersweet around these parts, especially with two young kids. You're kind of in the finish line for school. So you kind of look at your little list of summer. And each year we kind of make like an unofficial list of things we wanted to do. And we still had a couple things. We wanted to go to the boardwalk. So we did that last night with the kids. And up at Seaside. They've done a really nice job cleaning that up. It's very, very good time last night. I went to some birthday parties, a couple outings, and just generally had a bunch of folks over on Saturday night hanging out in our backyard at the overhang. Casa delle Bucci, what was we call it? It's Bucci Circle of Friends. Maybe you guys will get invited there one day. But but no, it was cool, man. That's what Labor Day weekend's all about. Just, you know, having fun and getting ready for the school year, bro. I got a sophomore and a seventh grader this year, so they're all in field hockey, cheer. The craziness starts for us on Thursday, man. Literally 7 days a week we have stuff. And all the parents out there with sports kids and the Graysons, your mom and dad's new. Your mom and dad knows what I'm talking about, and Johnny, yours too. And But, yeah, it was cool, bro. What did you guys do?
I just, kept it easy this weekend, just stayed local. I went and saw a local friend of mine perform at an event that they did in here in Nyack, which Johnny Cashmere knows what that is. It's like the downtown part of Rockland County with all the bars and stuff. So, you know, just kept it easy this weekend. Labor Day weekend, for those who don't know, in the tri-state, the traffic is just awful. So if you have an opportunity not to travel, I take that up and, you know, just kept it easy, kept it in, and yeah, just went to the gym and treated myself. That's all.
Nice.
Heck yeah. Good stuff, guys. Sorry. I guess, guys, I'm going to make my announcement now. I got a lot to talk about, guys. So everyone out there, please pay attention right now. I got to talk from the heart. This is not Johnny Cashmere talking to you. This is John Cashmere talking to you guys. All right. So bear with me here. I got some good news and I got some bad news. All right. So bear with me, everybody. So first of all, I hate to say this. I know that we just have people in the chat saying how excited they are for Legends Never Die. Unfortunately, we are not going to run an event next Saturday. So Legends Never Die is off, unfortunately. And our next event will be November 2nd in Harrah's. It'll be roll the dice. And there's a reason for this, everybody. I got to talk to you. All right. Let me talk to you all for a minute. A lot of you don't know this. All right. But when I came back to wrestling 2 years ago, I was in the seminary. I was going to be a priest, a Catholic priest. And I know a lot of people think, oh, Catholic priest, weird, whatever. No. I wanted to help people with my life. And I even took a vow of poverty where I was living almost like a monk in a brown robe. Okay. And I was meditating hours a day and I was volunteering to help people. And I loved my life, absolutely loved it. Okay. And I came back to wrestling because wrestling is where I'm meant to be. And I knew that. And I'm trying to do the right thing. All right. The building that we're running next weekend, all right, Super Crazy Arena, they were nice enough. I go way back with the owner, O-Dog, to 1999. They gave us a great rate on the building. They hooked up Spo Wrestling. They bent over backwards. They welcomed me into their school. All right, these guys are golden. And we went out there and we did the hardcore and we did the light tubes and we did the craziness. And it almost lost them their building. So they don't want it anymore. They don't want hardcore in the building anymore. Okay. I tried to find other buildings to move it to, like the H2O building. If we go ahead and we say, we're going to run this show next Saturday anyway, and we do the hardcore that we have advertised, and these people lose their building and they can't run their bingo every week and they can't run their school every week and they can't run their events, these people aren't going to be able to make a living. And it's not okay for me to do that. All right. The old Johnny, when I was 20, would have said, fuck it. But I can't do that. All right. So if we're going to do hardcore, we have to do hardcore in places where hardcore is allowed and wanted. We can't go and be interlopers where we're not wanted and then do hardcore. All right. So I made us a deal. All right. So since next Saturday is off, everyone that bought tickets, you can be refunded or you can have your ticket honored November 2nd at Roll the Dice. But the deal I made, if we're going to do hardcore, we're going to do it right. So I talked to Brett Lauderdale at GCW, and he's agreed to let us do a doubleheader with Game Changer Wrestling. It'll probably be in the new year. We're talking first quarter of 2025. Now, we could try to do it October 27th, but that's a week before November 2nd. It's too soon. So if we can do a doubleheader with them in the Showboat, where they do allow hardcore, now we'll do it the right way. So that's what we're looking at, guys. And in the future after that, we're going to try to run weekends. So it'll be a Friday, maybe at Caesars or Harrah's in Atlantic City, and then a Saturday in Harrah's in Philly. So we're going to start doing double shot weekends at the casino. And that's important, guys. That is the future of Spo Wrestling. A place like a casino can actually support a company like Spo Wrestling, whereas Gloucester City, New Jersey, as much as we love it, it kind of can't. So that's one thing. All right. Now, just so you know, for November 2nd, we're all in, guys. Tickets are already on sale. Here's the event. All right. And we are now going to add value to the event. Facade, Danny Moe making their debut in Spo Wrestling. Tasha Steeles from TNA making her debut in Spo Wrestling. Simon Gotch making his debut. The return of our own women's champion, Christina Marie. And of course, Todd Gordon comes home, not to mention Donnie B and our boy Bufa. So that's November 2nd. So we're going all in on November 2nd, everybody. And then pretty soon we're going to announce first quarter of 2025. Will be our doubleheader. And after that, we're going to start Friday, Saturday, Philly, Atlantic City weekends. So I just want to thank everybody for their hard work. And when I say that, I mean the people here. Donnie B, Tommy Grayson, JP Grayson. I don't know if you guys know it, but the Backseat Boys, they've been kicking ass at Juggalo Championship Wrestling. They've been kicking ass at Juggalo Championship Wrestling's Instagram. These guys are capable of doing a lot more than just wrestling. And I feel guilty that we have to cancel a show. So I want everybody to know it was my decision. I'm the one that doesn't want to have to wake up and think, oh, we lost a building for somebody. They can't make a living because we had to run a hardcore wrestling show. All right. The season of death is over. The season of death kind of killed me, everybody. So I'm kind of happy it's over, to be honest with you, and we can get back to business as usual. But I give you all my word. Early 2025, season of death's back. That's all I had to say.
Nice.
Well, Johnny, you mentioned Juggalo Championship Wrestling, and I think that's a perfect segue into our special guest tonight. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in the man of the hour, if you guys will allow me to. The obsession and the first ever JCW American champion. Please welcome everyone, Mr. Caleb Conley.
What's up, guys? Whoop, whoop. Hey.
Whoop, whoop.
What's up, bro?
What's up, brother? Did I do that?
A little bit, Donnie, a little bit.
Thank you. I'm getting there.
Donnie's still learning.
Caleb, please introduce everybody for those who aren't familiar and, you know, tell us about yourself, man. We're excited to have you on.
I am the obsession, Caleb Conley. As you mentioned, I'm the first American Juggalo champion. I spent years with TNA. I've spent years with Evolve Wrestling and Dragon Gate USA. I was at CZW for a long time. I've been all across the world. I've wrestled on 5 of the 7 continents, and now I'm here taking over the Juggalo world.
Hell yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah,
and Johnny mentioned, Juggalo Championship Wrestling on social media. You know, I'd be a fool for taking all the credit myself. Caleb, we spoke about this at the gathering, man. You know, yep. I've been a fan of yours since literally the second show my brother and I attended at North Rockland High School, with where you worked, guys like Man Scout and then now and Frankie Airy. And so, you know, I see the passion that you have for the business and continue to have. And, you know, I'd be a fool for saying that, you know, whatever we're helping grow, you have a part.
Man, it still blows my mind that you guys were at those NEW shows. It makes me feel so old knowing that, like, you guys are up there killing it now. And, you know, it wasn't even that long ago to me that you guys were just like in the crowd, just being kids. Yeah. Man, it's so awesome to watch you go from that level to being where you're at now.
It's even awesomer to, you know, watch you from behind the guardrail, and now it's, you know, we're taking over the JCW together, man. I'm nothing but inspired. But, you know, I want to hear about your career. You mentioned this, that you mentioned 5 of the 7 continents. I mean, seriously, man, you know, where do you start?
Oh man, well,
Antarctica. You were not on Antarctica.
I was not on Antarctica. I gotta get there at some point, though.
Not yet. Yeah. The other one. The other one is going to be.
Well, I guess we start at the beginning. I suppose I started in Atlanta. My dad was an independent wrestler in the 90s, and he was also in the music business, very similar to what we got going on here at JCW, the other side of it, country music, but like he was always a fan of it, and I became a fan of it as a kid. And right after high school, people were like, "You going to college or whatever?" I was like, "I'm going to wrestling school, and that's what I'm going to do." And so I went to the WWA 4 school with Mr. Hughes in Atlanta, and then I went to school in Atlanta with Glacier, and then I trained everywhere. And 2 years later, at 2007, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina to work at highspots.com and train with Mr. Number One, George South, who was a new Juggalo favorite also.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
And then from then, man, you know, the hustle and the grind, just
Caleb, I commiserated with George South in the locker room. It was over.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. We talked about how we were two old heads and how I said, you know, these guys tell me if I was in my 20s in here, I would have enjoyed it. And he goes, but you know, you wouldn't have even then, right? I'm like, damn right. And then he laughed. So go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good, man. I want to tell stories about George all day long, man. He's like a father figure. I've known him since I was 18 years old, man. And I've been up and down so many roads. And it's funny, you know, when you're like 18, 19, 20, you're a young kid and you hear the grizzled old vets talking that shit and you're like, that's just them being old, man. I'm never going to be like that. And now everything he says, I'm like that's everything he says is completely golden, completely perfect. I believe everything he ever says. I'll never doubt him again.
It's like us with Donnie B.
Now, Caleb, you came from North Carolina. You must know Hamrick and Champagne, the Hardys, Trevor.
Oh yeah, man.
Them. Yeah,
definitely.
First name Sham, last name Payne.
Definitely. My dad actually wrestled Champagne on one of the first like big indie shows I ever went to in Cornelia, Georgia, which then eventually turned into Wildside and Anarchy.
Yep.
Bill Barron. We wrestled there, Donnie.
Sure did. Me and Johnny Caleb. We got into a van. We drove 16, 17 hours with the Reverend Ron Starr. We did TV for Barron's. We got back in the van and came back home. That's true story.
And how much of a dump was Cornelia when you were there? The building itself, the church, yeah.
But it was, you know what? We didn't care.
No, absolutely not.
It was awesome, man. We went, I think, 3 or 4 times we went down there. We did at least 3. But it was fun, man. I like Bill Barron's, always like Bill. I've been a fan of AJ and known AJ Styles forever, too. He used to sleep on my mom's couch when he came up here to do indies. True story. And all those guys are great, man. You come from good stock down there, bro. I tell you what, man.
I feel like everybody had to do a little bit of time at Wildside if you were around back in those days. You had to do it.
Without a doubt, man. But that's how you learn, bro.
Before we go, I got to cut you off again. I'm sorry, Caleb.
All good.
You said your dad was a worker?
My dad was a wrestler. Yeah, in between times of him like going on tour with bands and stuff, he would come and he would wrestle for, you know, 6 months out of the year or something. He was in like a biker gimmick. Oh, wow. And then the day that Biggie Smalls died, he changed his name to Notorious D.O.G.
Oh, he worked for Barron's too, right?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah. I would say circa 93, 94, maybe.
Probably. I mean, around that time. But yeah, up until about around 2000-ish.
Okay, I 1,000% remember that name because I remember popping for it, being like, "Oh, that's awesome, Notorious D.O.G." Oh, that's cool, man. Very cool. Is he still with us?
Your dad? Yeah, he's still with us, man. I talk to him all the time. He's always interested in what I'm doing. He's super interested in me doing the JCW stuff right now. I mean, cool. He went through my whole Juggalo phase in high school, and he's like, "This is incredible that you're actually working for these guys now."
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Good.
Yeah. That is neat. Yeah. And then, that, you know, what they said in the beginning, Caleb, it's true. I'm inspired by you guys. Like back in when Donnie and me were running our feds in the 90s and early 2000s, wrestlers didn't help out.
No.
No.
Workers didn't help out. You guys are wearing a few different hats. And in my opinion, it makes you guys more valuable all around. Like, you guys could do what you're doing for JCW in other feds eventually one day.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys are kicking ass, man. And I get to see it firsthand and watch it. And I wish everyone could see what I see, because these three guys are driven and inspired. And I got to say, guys, I'm taking my cue from you guys lately. You guys have been kicking ass, man. Good shit.
I appreciate it, man. They say that, you know, you only have so many bumps on that bump card. And once it's over, man, it's over. So this is what I want to do. I want to be in professional wrestling. So I'm making gear. I'm producing shows on Facebook. I'm trying to do social media stuff. If I can be a producer somewhere, I do that whenever I can. Just, I want to know all aspects of this profession. So, you know, I can't take that superplex anymore, but I can call that spot for some young kids to do it.
That's great, man. Such an asset. You guys don't really realize from a promoter's point of view how valuable you are. If I can say, "Hey, Caleb, Tommy, JP, this is what we need on this upcoming event." And the three of you can go, "Yeah, man, that's awesome. We got it, Donnie." And I don't have to revisit that every 24 hours and say, "Hey, what's going on?" And just let you run with it. That is so goddamn valuable, dude. Like, as a promoter, if I had, man, I had two or three guys that helped out, like my right-hand guys, but I would have killed for guys like you, man, just to give us some more support. And
appreciate
I applaud
it,
you, bro. There's definitely companies that, listen, the pond is always getting restocked, whether it's AEW, MLW, NWA, like NXT, whatever it is, bro. There's not a lot of minds out there when it comes to there's a lot of guys who claim they can do it.
Sure.
There's not a lot of guys out there who can actually fucking do it. So I know at least one company that could use you.
I'm always willing to work for whoever will pay me, man.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. So you, I don't mean to, your story was taking a trajectory. I don't want to pull you off of that.
Oh, no.
Right back to where you were, but I do, before you leave, I want to hear about you working at High Spots, because I'm fascinated by that. So work that into your story at some point.
Oh, I mean, High Spots is everything, because I since 2007, since I was 20 years old, I've been working here. High Spots has basically got me everywhere I've ever gone. You know, for the first 15 years of my career, man, I was driving to wherever would have me. Northeast Wrestling would be, you know, upstate New York or wherever it was at. And I would, you know, get in the van with High Spots, and there'd be me and Jake Manning and this guy named Mike Lee and another guy named Charlie Dreamer. And we would just load the van full of all the High Spots merchandise, the DVDs, 8x10s, whatever, everything we were selling, and just drive wherever in the world you want. Like, I mean, there was times where I was driving to Boston and then Philly and then over here, and then it was just get in the car, sell your gimmicks, sell High Spots gimmicks, wrestle, and then, you know, that's been my whole life. So like 24/7, 365, it's not like, this isn't a 40 miler thing. This isn't like a weekend warrior thing. It's like, get up, I go to work on Monday, which is wrestling. I'm training kids during the week at our school. I'm off on the road on the weekend, just 24/7.
Now, what school is it? First of all, are you in the warehouse right now?
I am in the warehouse right now. Wow. We got all kinds of craziness back here. It's a giant poster we got over here.
Whoa.
Over here, this is where I'm sewing stuff all day. We got autographed action figures, 8x10s, everything in the world, man.
That is cool, bro. That is really cool.
Dude, an inside look at the warehouse of High Spots. I love it.
On the Spocast. I love it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't think this. Look, we need to zoom in and read what's on these walls and stuff.
This was where all our AEW action figures were, right behind me, and that's gotten moved up front. But all these tubs over here, that's in-stock gear, and there's kick pads. There's so much craziness here. This is just like a small little portion of it.
That's awesome.
Caleb, I want to know when the Man Scout action figure is coming out. Does it come with a tent? Does it come with that pop-up tent? Because that's like
if it doesn't come with a pop-up tent, he's missing out, man.
Oh, bro, it's got to. I love that guy.
Man Scout he's another guy that he's got such a mind for wrestling, and like he can do anything. He was the original video editor here, like before everyone's just editing off their phone. Like he like went to college for it. Like he's professional, legit.
And he's a hell of a worker too.
He is, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's another one of the guys, you know, we would see frequently at Northeast, and you know, it probably the same match, Caleb, I first saw you at. You know, Man Scout was in that match. You know, you guys were definitely the High Spot Warriors.
Yeah. You got a lot of heat for that, man. There's always somebody that's got a little bit of heat with if you're making a little bit of waves, you know.
That's right.
You said Northeast Wrestling. That's Mike Lombardi, correct?
Yes.
Love Mike. Known Mike for 30 years. I always like Mike. Runs a really good company, man. Tight company, good shows. Get good value for your money up there. I've always
absolutely
thought the world of Mike. I always thought the world of Mike shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had Nova on one of his first shows, if I'm not mistaken, up in Newburgh.
Yep. Nova and Johnny Handsome used to go up there and
DeVito.
Regulars, man. Yep. Nova always says that he got his very first $100 independent payday from Mike Lombardi. He still talks about it to this day.
Sounds about right.
That's 1993.
Yeah.
So a $100 bill for an indie guy in 1993 was like, huh?
Wow. Yeah,
you could do a lot with that money.
Yeah, that's a good payday right there.
Yeah. 1993. Yep. God bless him.
Jesus. Caleb, you look so young is what amazed me. When these guys told me that, like you just said, you've been working at the warehouse since you were a certain age.
Yeah. Like, I just turned 38 on Friday.
I wasn't trying to get you to reveal that. Thank
That's
you.
That's all good, man. It said on Wikipedia forever that I was like 3 years older than I am. And every year of my birthday, I would have all these people like, happy 41st birthday. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I know I'm getting old, but come on, man.
Damn. Oh, man. Well, I got you beat by quite a lot, brother.
But you're still out there doing it, man. You look great.
Thanks, bro. Rubs off from you.
Yeah, a lot of you older guys are killing it, man. Like guys like Caleb and Johnny, you guys look like a million bucks. I mean, obviously JP and Tommy, but you older cats, man. I'm 52, so I got everybody beat in the fucking room. Add all you together, and I'm still probably older. But you guys are looking great, man. I'm just like I saw M Dog as part of JCW, right? Juggalo.
Yeah, dude. He looks better than he ever did, I think.
Bro,
yeah.
I swear to God, one of the first times we ever went to Ohio, we met the Mad Dog, M Dog 20, and I was like, this guy's incredible. And I cannot believe he's probably better now than he was then.
Absolutely.
He looks fucking amazing, dude. Love that dude.
We asked him to come on here next week. He didn't respond to us, Donnie.
Ooh. Oh, you tell him Donnie B. Text him and say Donnie B wants you on as a guest next Monday. He'll come on.
We'll try.
He will.
We'll try. We want him. We want him on next week. He'd be perfect.
Big heat.
Plus the stories he tells of the, like, I was legit laughing so hard when he was telling stories of what some of the juggalos were telling him. Like they go up to him and say, hey, you know, you're not going to believe this. And they start telling him stories. And he sits there like, like listening to them in horror, you know, and to hear him tell the story back. We got to get him on here to tell his stories. That's how I look.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was like literally laughing my ass off. I couldn't stop. The way he was telling the story was just great. But anyway, speaking of telling stories, Caleb.
Well, speaking of the gathering, I mean, what Caleb, what was your biggest like takeaway from this year's gathering? And like just what were your overall thoughts on the vibe going on?
Man, so I've been to the gathering a bunch of times, actually. This is the third time as a professional wrestler, five times just as a fan, as a kid. So I knew what I was getting myself into. But honestly, this year, man, I pulled in early in the morning and we walked around the fair, the grounds early on, and everybody was so peaceful and calm, and I didn't see any like hatred, no shit talking, nothing like that. Everyone was just super cool. And I was walking around with George South, who was passing out Bibles to juggalos all day.
Yes, he was.
And everyone was very receptive. Even if, you know, they're not believer or whatever, they were still polite and they took it in and they were super nice to George. And George, man, everyone from down here that found out that George was going to the gathering, and when he did the spot with Violent J last year at WrestleCade, everyone kind of like, you know, like, oh, how's George going to do this? I'm like, and George, yes, George. And he's like, I was around the Four Horsemen in the 80s doing blow everywhere. Like, what is JCW going to do that I haven't already seen 1,000 times?
Dude, him hand. He's not wrong. I didn't know he was giving out Bibles.
He had a Spider-Man backpack full of little Bibles that he was handing out to people.
And you know what? We got to tell everyone too that the show we worked at the gathering with George South started at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
So sure when him did. And I were commiserating before our match about how this wouldn't have been fun even in our 20s, that was at like 2:30 in the morning we were having that conversation, me and George South, and he was yawning. I'm looking next to him, and he's like, and I'm like, I hear you, brother.
Yep. I think that was after ICP. So he had already seen an ICP show and then had to go and wrestle and had to deal with, you know.
So, he sat right beside me the whole ICP show and watched it all. It just didn't make
No, we were watching it all together.
We were all there, yeah. And Cowboy was ribbing him a bunch and stuff. That was probably that my favorite takeaway from the weekend was watching Cowboy and James Storm and George South at an ICP show and George South be the calmer of the two. That popped the hell out of me.
Donnie, I loved every minute of it.
We need to do me and Donnie versus Caleb and George, and we need to do it.
Dude, I'm so down. Yeah.
It's got to happen in Cornelia, Georgia.
Donnie, who? Yeah.
So they, I think they finally condemned that building last year. They were running shows up until like last year. I think whoever's taken over of that building, like they're running like a school like down the street or whatever. But yeah, it was a pretty sad day.
Yeah, well, the first
time even though it should have been condemned like 20 years ago.
Yeah, right. The first time I went
after
there,
after we worked in it.
Yeah, well, it was me. The first time I went there wasn't with Donnie. It was me and Trent, and we drove down there. And you got to remember, this was before GPS, so all you had was that MapQuest gimmick, right? So we're like, we're here, and we're like, no, we're not. Like, this ain't it. What the fuck? So we go back down the street, and we're like, redid everything. We're like, no, it says we're here, but we're not. So we finally go down to the like Wawa, which is not a Wawa. It had a front porch with peanuts in cauldrons on it. We're like, well, what's going on? They said, no, you were there. It's that barn. We're like, it is not. I go there and I look at the barn from the outside and I'm thinking, there's no way that's big enough to be the NWA Wildside Arena. You walk up to it and I'll be damned. If you look inside, it's like one of those banks where it's like an illusion. Like, how do they have enough space inside of that little fucking barn? It doesn't make sense.
It's perfect. It's the perfect size. Perfect little studio, man.
Yeah, it is. I actually got changed under the barn one time.
Under the barn?
Yep, and we did a whole promo from there. I got to show it to you, dude. You'll pop for
that's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, creative use of the Cornelia building. We got extra points for. Yeah, so. But, dude, so.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I showed this before you got on here. The Obsession, Caleb Connolly. So why do you call yourself The Obsession? When did that start?
Obsession started right when I started, you know, almost 20 years ago now. Actually, at Anarchy in Cornelia, there was another guy. I was Caleb Connolly, CC. My mom's maiden name is Connolly with a C. And there was another guy there. His name was Cameron Cade, and he was Cameron with a K. Cameron Cade, double K's, and I was double C's. And we were going to be a tag team, and we were going to be underwear models. And our tag team name was going to be The Obsession, and we were going to be, you know, C and a K.
Yes.
Oh. And then the day before or day of the show, he just decided, like, I'm not doing this anymore. Actually, I want to say he might have got arrested, but I don't want to speculate. Whatever happened, he never made it, and it never happened. And I had already gotten gear that had a C and a K on it. And I was like, well, I'll just change my last name to Conley with a K.
You're kidding.
No, that's for real.
Dude, creative use of the K. Good job. Yeah. Wow.
You come out to Obsession by Animotion. That's got to be your theme, right?
I did in the past. I had in the past. And then I had a guy do like a rap version of it.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. That's great.
Obsession
I've seen some of your stuff. I think you're great, man. I really do.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
I do what I can.
Nah, man, you got it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, because the episode one of JCW's Lunacy TV just played last week on their YouTube, and you're all over that. That was you and Facade, right, in the match?
Me and Facade tagging against the Brothers of Funstruction.
Yep.
So how kayfabe are we here? Are we not?
Who gives a fuck?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So story of that match. I was supposed to team with another dude, and he didn't know that we were going to be wrestling more than once. And he just decided he was bouncing. He was gone. He didn't want to be a part of it.
I know who it is.
I don't want to say name. I don't want to. So somebody just up and peaced out. And then I didn't even know about this match. Me and Facade had put together a match, and I thought that was my first match. And then I had something later, but I didn't really know what it was. But I was just going to give him my first match and figure it out. And then like 15 minutes before doors opened, they were like, you got your match with Brothers of Construction? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Facade was only wrestling the one time that day. Somehow he got that. And I was like, well, my partner left. Like, what are we going to do? And they were like, I don't know. You got an idea? And then I just came up with a story of me and Facade tagging and then me turning on him right after it to lead into our match, I guess, tomorrow.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. So you show up to a wrestling show and they say, I need a 20-minute match from you. And they pay you whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or you show up to a wrestling show and they say, it's a TV taping. I need three-minute matches from you. And they pay you whatever. Which one's what's better? What's worse? Right.
So I mean, I guess there's a lot of factors to put in there. I mean, obviously this is for JCW, so it's going to be cool. It's going to be seen by a bunch of different people. I mean, I personally, I enjoy wrestling still, so I like doing a 20-minute match. It still brings me joy to like get in there and put in the work. So there's that. But then also, three-minute matches. You know, it's fun. You get seen. You do your highlight reel, and you get out. So
great.
At the end of the day, really, it's like if the pay is going to be the same one way or the other, it's like what's going to get me the most eyeballs.
And yeah.
I don't know if anybody's going to get me more eyeballs than JCW for doing what we did.
Right.
You said it right there. That last sentence. You don't know a format or a platform that's going to give us more eyeballs for what we do currently at this level than JCW. There is none.
Yeah.
No, and that's why it's so great. Like someone said how beautiful the belt was. I think that is a gorgeous belt. Would you mind just sort of holding it up for people?
Oh, absolutely,
like that
man.
That's brand new, by the way. You are literally the first man to ever hold that title.
First person.
Yeah.
Me and Violent J, I think, are the only people to hold it.
That is awesome.
That's pretty historic.
That's pretty good. I mean, yeah.
Nice. Lunacy. Yeah. That is banging.
It's funny.
That's really nice.
When we started working for JCW, and then like all of a sudden, like my Facebook algorithm starts showing me all the psychopathic fan sites and pages and all that stuff. And then they posted the picture of this, and you know, if wrestling fans start talking shit, I don't ever pay attention to it or whatever. But then like it was the post where they showed this belt off for the first time. And then I would like see a comment of someone talking shit about the belt, and it fired me up. I was like, I know I shouldn't pay attention to this at all, but don't you talk shit about my belt. This belt's beautiful.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Good shit, man. So where do you have coming up? You got any dates coming up, brother?
Man, I knew that question was coming and I completely forgot. I'm somewhere. I've got stuff coming up all over the place. If you check me out on social media at Caleb Conley on Instagram and Twitter, I'm always putting it over. The beginning of October, I'm going to be in the UK all over. I got a date in France and something in Scotland. And then obviously at the end of the month, there's the train of terror tour. So I'm going to be on all that.
Hell yeah.
Right. Right. Katrina that's territory. What I was getting at. That's going to be a good tour, man. You also
do appearances as the Suicide character as well.
Right? Well, I mean, if we're not doing kayfabe, then yeah. I mean, I'm doing both. I'm doing whatever gets me in the door is what I'm doing.
Nice.
Sweet.
That's over. So wait, what, you have another? Whoa, start up. So what, you have like a Suicide type gimmick?
Well, I was the last Suicide at DNA.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So you have the right to be Suicide now?
I mean, yeah, the right to do it, or if I am doing it, I'm the last person to do it. And, you know, that's where I've gotten a lot of, I got to go to Australia. I got my first couple tours of England because of that. So, yeah, I mean, they signed me in 2016 and I did, you know, a handful of appearances, and then I just sat at home for months. And that was the same time that Jeff Jarrett came back for the last time. And I guess he really likes the gimmick. So then I got a call one day asking if I would mind doing Suicide. And I was like, you're damn right. If it gets me on TV, if it gets me a paycheck, I'll do anything you want.
Yeah.
Nice.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Kazarian was a Suicide at one point, wasn't he?
Kazarian was number one, I think.
That's what I think. I thought so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
it was him and then Christopher Daniels, or it was the reverse. Yes. I can't remember.
Frankie was first, and I think CD was second from what CD I remember.
And then Loki.
No, Loki. The story with Loki is they wanted him to do it originally, and he did the voice on the game, but he did not want to do it.
I can't see Loki putting that. I can't see that happening. No way.
Well, wasn't Austin Aries one, or no? Am I crazy?
That was for storyline purposes. They they put him in it for one night or whatever. But besides that, like TJP was that after or before me, and then there was like. A Austin couple Aries of people they threw in once or twice.
Austin Aries was the jabroni. And then you would also Suicide.
Do... So at these TNA or Impact tapings, you would do one match of Suicide and then go into the Caleb Connolly gear.
Right? Oh, yeah. Because at the same time they started having me do that, they also had me teaming with Trevor Lee with the Cult of Lee stuff. And I think it was just a rib on me to see how many times they can make me fucking bump in a night. I would go out and I would do like a 10-minute match of Suicide. I would leave my other gear right beside Gorilla, and I would just get changed right at the Gorilla, and they would just tell me, hey, this is what you're doing in this match. And then I would go out and I'd do the tag matches with Cult of Lee, come right. And a lot of those times, like if they were filming like on the weekends at Universal, they would do like a 3 p.m. show and then a 7 p.m. show or whatever. So a lot of times I'd be working five times a day or something. It was insane.
Oh my God. Damn. So doing double duty at JCW doesn't even faze you.
No. From that aspect, going out there and doing, ask me to do two or three matches, like whatever. Yeah, fine. I don't even have to change for it. Perfect.
Yeah.
You have the Suicide outfit in your possession? Oh, yeah. My mind is just concocting. I'm sorry.
So a funny story about when I first started doing it, I was really good friends with Jimmy Rave growing up in Atlanta.
R.I.P.
God bless him.
He was my buddy, and we were on a show, and I just told him about that I was going to start doing Suicide, and I was like, you know, I've been trying to build Caleb Conley up for a long time, and all of a sudden I've got a spot on TV, but it's going to be putting me under a mask, and I don't know how I feel about it. And he was like, you know, I was Jimmy Rave forever, and then I got there and they made me a fake rock band, and you know, it was different, but you know, you take what you're given and you make the best of it, and you'll learn from it if nothing else. And I was like, yeah man, you're absolutely right, thanks man, I appreciate that a lot. So then I get a TV like a week or two later, and Sanjay Dutt pulls me aside and he goes, hey, your buddy Jimmy Rave wants to steal your spot as Suicide. And I was like, you asshole. But I love that man, I loved him so much.
Me too. And Gabby. I love Gabby. He had such an influence on so many people, and he's a fellow Silver Panther.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he is.
Can't get any closer. Gotta love Jimmy Rave, man.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
That's right.
So
when I first started, he was like, he was doing the Ring of Honor stuff, and he had just gotten the TNA stuff, and he was like the guy that all the young guys looked up to in Georgia.
Yep.
His gimmick was awesome. I remember watching a TNA with the Guitar Hero, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Looking back at it, it was awesome. Like, him and Lance Hoyt did awesome with it.
That was Lance Hoyt he was with back then?
Yeah.
No, that's...
Oh, my God.
Lance Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Holy shit. Yeah, I forgot. Damn.
Hell yeah.
Word. Anyway.
Yeah.
Good shit. But yeah, man. So, Caleb.
What would you...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm good.
What would you say to these young talents? You know, do you have any advice for anyone breaking in or just starting? What would you have to say to young aspiring wrestlers?
To me, man, if it's not in your heart to do this like full time, if it's not like something that you're willing to like put in the miles, put in the stress, you're gonna miss birthdays and graduations and anniversaries and all that kind of crap. You're gonna miss it. So like, if that's too much for you, why even get involved? Why save yourself the back problems, save yourself the knee problems, and just be a fan forever. But if it's something that you can't stop thinking about, if it's something you can't put away and you really, really want to do it, then you just have to really give it your all. You have to make it your living, even if you're only making $50 a month, you know. Like if you gotta start somewhere, you gotta put in the time at the gym, you gotta put in the time at training, you gotta do all the things you gotta do. And even now it's even worse because you gotta worry about social medias and podcasts and everything else in the world that I didn't have to deal with when I was, you know, just breaking in. But you gotta do it. That's the way it is.
Yep, that is very true, man. That's good stuff. And I say the same thing when I advertise for students. I say, if you need to be a wrestler and you know you have to be a wrestler, then yeah, I'm willing to help train you. But if it's like something you might want to do, go find another school down the street. You know,
absolutely.
That's how I'm glad to hear you say that, bro. I'm definitely of that ilk, so to speak.
There needs to be a higher standard for who is an aspiring wrestler in the schools because, you know, simply put, there's been a lot of people out there that should just be hobbyists or people that just should be, you know, on the other side of a guardrail. And I think it's important that we as the wrestlers are transparent with that. This isn't for everybody. You know, you listen to a guy like Caleb who's been doing this for 20 years. His father was in the business, so he knew what he was getting himself into. A lot of people don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Right. And Caleb, I heard you say you've been to every continent but two, and we already said Antarctica is one. And I heard you say you've been to Australia, so now I'm wondering which continent have you not been to?
I have not been to Africa.
Okay. All right, we got to get you
like
booked.
The
Ugandan Wrestling Federation has an opening for you. We hear.
So yes. So they called the office. That's one of the cool things about High Spots is we get random stuff like this all the time. But
go ahead.
The soft ground guys, the Ugandan soft ground, they were trying to get a ring sent there and they were going to get it built through us. But I guess like to get something into Uganda, there's a whole lot of like red tape you got to go through. Cody Rhodes was wanting to help out. He was wanting to fund the ring. And there was a lot of people, with a lot of pull trying to help this go down. And I don't think it's going to work, but we're trying, man. We're trying to get a ring out there.
I know how to do it.
Oh yeah.
You load the ring on the Jericho cruise and you cruise to Uganda.
Perfect.
Jericho is going to donate money anyway. You know, he's waiting to help.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think he probably was on the list of people that was trying to help.
Right. He already gave money. Yeah. He already gave it to the office.
Forget about the Jericho cruise in December. Let's convince Joe or Violent J Ball is on a boat, and we'll take Ball is on a boat all the way to Uganda.
Oh my God!
The Lady Liberty tour. You do the Statue of Liberty thing. He's gonna do, but we'll just hijack it and keep going.
Be like Jay, we're going to Uganda real quick.
Oh my God! So Caleb, let me ask you a question. So you get a phone call today, all right? And it's dude from Uganda. And he's like, yo, we need you out here like tomorrow for this death match. What's your price?
Oh my God.
Do you highball him? Or are you like, fuck it, I'll do it for fucking free?
Definitely not doing it for free, but I don't know if I'd highball him. I would probably do it just to be like, hey, if I can get like a week in Africa and see some things, I'd probably do it for the cheap. But man, that'd be so. Another really weird thing. I don't know if it was Uganda, but there was a couple tours probably like 10 years ago. And there was this guy named the Great Power Udi, who was the champion down in whichever African country it was. And he came and he started to try to train at High Spots. He was in town. I think he was like buddies with the Barbarian. because I think he was like helping get the tour started, and he was legit the worst wrestler I've ever seen. But he didn't understand how any of it worked. He just knew that like he was the Great Power Udi. Like it legit said on his passport, the Great Power Udi.
That's awesome.
I'm stealing that name.
So he was doing these tours, and of course he was the champion in the main event. He had the belt with him. So I guess on one of like the last tour they did, some like war was going on or something was going on, and they had to take all of the people on the tour to like some kind of government building and had them all measured for death shrouds just in case something happened and they needed to get buried or whatever they do, burn them or something.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
So maybe not Africa for a while or somewhere really cool in Africa. South Africa.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen the New York City Park Federations?
No. What is that?
Oh, it was
like the Ugandan feds, except they go in parks in New York City, and they are sick. So what I'm thinking is we need to get the New York City Park Federation to do matches against the Ugandan Federation somewhere. And, dude, I'm telling you right now, it'll sell out.
It's got to be neutral ground, right? It can't be.
It would have to be. It would have to be like Tom's River, New Jersey or something, right?
Hey, I'll find a building.
I think Cuba is probably a good spot for that.
Yeah.
Well, I know 2KW was from like 08 or 09. So those guys, if any of them are still around, some of them might be pro or some of them might be, I don't know, like no longer wrestling or who knows.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the Anwan basketball of professional wrestling.
2KW. Yes.
The micro.
You've wrestling. Seen the. Yeah, you've seen the clips where they do like the spot where one of them gets thrown down the slide and then the other.
You know, I have seen that actually. Yeah, I didn't know if that was a real thing or if that was just like some guys messing around.
Yeah, no, it was a real fed, and I think Santana and Ortiz used to wrestle there. Cage and Whiplash from the Zoltan and a few other guys.
Wow. Oh shit, that's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That I did not know. So what do you let me ask you a question. So it's 7:46 PM here. What time is it where you are?
7:46.
And you're at work?
I mean, I would be leaving if I wasn't on the phone with you guys.
Thank you, brother.
I work a little bit late. We've got so many orders, like WWE orders from us, AEW orders from us. So like at this point I'm backlogged on all kinds of crap. So
Caleb, what is WWE order from you guys? I thought they had everything in house.
Turnbuckle pads, canvases, not only like they order the turnbuckle pads for them, but then also like the prime ones, we're getting those done. And then Fanatics is their distributor for merchandise stuff. So now they're doing like pay-per-view exclusive autograph turnbuckle pads. So I got to make like 1,000 for WrestleMania coming up.
Oh,
wow. It takes
forever.
So did you guys make the canvas with the prime bottle on and stuff too? Is that you guys?
Yep.
Wow, that's cool, man. I thought that was a stroke of genius. I really did. I thought it was a fantastic idea.
It would look really nice too, man.
Yeah, brilliant.
Hell yeah. It's a pain in the ass.
How many people work at High Spots now? Like, what's your staff? Like, you have a crew or?
We've got the front office people that do like the autograph signings and things like that. And then we have four different seamstresses in-house, seamsters, whatever the male and female of that seamsters. Is. And then we've got like a guy in Texas who does like all of our really hard gear and our lucha mask and things like that. And then we've got another dude that like actually builds the rings. He's on a couple hours away from here. So it's a sprawling enterprise.
That's cool, man. Who would have thought? Who started High Spots? I don't even know.
My boss named Michael Bacchicchio. He wrestled for a little bit, but he started out as just a huge wrestling fan, and he would go to Mexico City and watch Lucha Libre, and he would come back with, you know, like 50 lucha mats from Mexico, and then he would sell them on online boards at his college.
Yeah,
back in the day, and it just kind of went from there.
Isn't that amazing how you could grow something literally out of nothing?
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like it's just. Hard work, man. Hard work, dedication, and a good idea, bro. I love hearing stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. That's banging.
It's been great, man. I learned a lot, dude. Honestly, full disclosure, I've heard of you many times, but this is the longest I ever had a chance to talk to you or listen to you. And, bro, you definitely you should be on somebody's fucking radar, dude, whether it's like NXT or whoever else, man. Or
I'm trying.
Look at Ethan Page, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got a whole second life now, and you're prime for anybody right out. If you're listening to the show, man, give this guy a shot at the big time, bro. He deserves it. He's wearing many hats. I've been listening very carefully to you over this last half hour or so, and I can tell you know what you're talking about. You would be an asset in any company full time. So whoever's listening to this, give this guy a chance if you have an opening, dude. Like he deserves it.
Man, I really appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
No worries, bro.
Hell yeah. Book Caleb Conley, everyone. Book the JCW American champion.
Damn right.
Yep, and he's awesome in the ring. You should see the shit he does. I can't do any of it. So,
man, I will bump for you all day long. Wow.
That's great. This is
Catch Him in Action, episode 2 of JCW Lunacy tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yep, and you can watch episode 1. Correct. Right now,
You could watch episode 1 right now, JCW Lunacy, on the Psychopathic Records YouTube channel. You could also catch Caleb Conley and the Backseat Boys, JCW Champions, on the upcoming Train of Terror tour. Tickets were finally put on sale. We're going all over, man. We're going to Tennessee. We're going to Alabama. I don't know why. We're going to St. Louis. We're going to Detroit. You know, and on top of this, it's not just JCW. The Wicked Clowns are going to perform all of these shows. So it's going to be an ICP JCW head-to-head double header.
Wow, you must be in heaven, Tommy.
Bro, I've been in heaven since, you know, since the gathering. You know, I'm just living in heaven at this point.
I'm so happy for you guys, just seeing young talent out there and Johnny. You know, just working hard. working hard and just killing it, man, and just mixing. When you can mix your passions, like you guys love ICP and wrestling and promoting it, you're kind of mixing it all together now. Caleb has the same thing. I can sense it. I can see
it's absolutely the dream, man. This is what bro. You always think about.
Yep. That's great. I wish everybody so much success.
Yeah. No, I think the world's ending, Donnie. We're getting to experience our pleasures too much, and we're mixing too many things. Like we're gonna find out that like 9/11 the world ended and we've just been in a dream since, is what I think.
Oh my god,
this was it.
I mean, that's a whole podcast right there, man. We got to explore that right there.
The world ended decades ago, guys.
I subscribe to that theory for those of you. I'm convinced that we've been living in a simulation. It's like Zombie Simpsons.
This world's been over, brother. Yep. Jeez. That's it. But anyway. Well,
assuming that the world is not over. Sorry to cut you off, Johnny. I just have one more question from one more question for Caleb, if you don't mind. Who are some of your dream matches in JCW, or things that you would like, you know, who would you like to put the JCW American title on the line against?
Man, I would, as a longtime JCW fan, I would any of the old school guys, Evil Dead, or you know, Too Tough Tony, obviously Pondo, like all the guys that have been there since the beginning, all the people that I watched when I was a kid on, you know, the Stranglemania shows and the JCW Volume 1, 2, and 3, like any of that'd be cool. But obviously, honestly, like man, the whole roster it's just like the Juggalos themselves. Like everybody's friendly with each other. There's not like a whole bunch of, you know, bullcrap drama in the back. Like everybody just wants to have fun, get their stuff over, you know, and just go out there and kill it. So like, honestly, I want to wrestle anybody and everybody on the show.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're someone that can get a good match out of anyone, Caleb. You're what I call a carrier. You know, I always say a wrestler is like a stormtrooper and a worker is like a Jedi. And you, sir, are a Jedi, as if you didn't already know. So it's fun watching you work, and it's fun watching you call your matches in the back too, because you know what the hell you're doing, brother. Donnie B.
Really appreciate that. That's always been like my biggest goal, is to like, all right, of course I can have a great match with this guy that can have great matches, but I want to have a great match with anybody. And if they can't do these things, I can do these things over here. If you need a spot match, I can be a character. I can do whatever, high flyer, technical, whatever you need to do, I will do my best to make that a reality.
JED to the I, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
That's it. That is it. But so we're done. We're down to the last few minutes to the hour. Caleb, we can't thank you enough for being here, man. And we say it to everyone, but we're going to say it especially to you. Open door policy, brother. You can be on here and be part of our panel every friggin' week if you want, or no weeks. It's up to you. So open invitation, brother. That you're the only one that really has that so far.
Yeah. I really appreciate it, guys. I appreciate you having me on, taking time. I love you guys, and you guys are helping me out tremendously, and I just Hell I can't yeah, wait to see what the future holds with what we got going on.
Hell yeah.
Sweet. That's, tell the man scout we said hello. We
want him I definitely here will.
Night. Yes. Tell the man scout.
The man scout's got to come on here one night. It's a must.
I can make that happen.
Yes.
We would love to. Yes. We're all big fans of the man scout, and we could all reminisce and share some old Northeast wrestling stories from courtesy of the tent. Yeah.
Yep. Over.
Yeah. Seriously, go check out some Caleb Connolly matches. I mean, he's had matches against legends like Rey Mysterio. I mean, Hardy Boys, and then some. I mean, you wrestled Jushin Thunder Liger, correct?
Yeah, twice.
Wow,
that's incredible.
For NEW, that's amazing. Yeah, dude. Come on.
What?
Yeah. I mean, listen. Go on the High Spots Network. I believe their NEW shows are all still on there. Correct?
I'm pretty sure. I haven't checked in a while, but yeah, highspots.tv.
Damn.
Right, either on highspots.tv. I know he has on Premiere as well, NEW shows. Again, go watch Caleb Connolly on NEW. He's had matches with some legends.
Go watch Caleb Connolly, period. Watch him in TNA as Caleb Connolly and as Suicide. Go watch him in Evolve. Go watch any of his best work. And make sure you guys watch JCW Lunacy, because that is the latest and greatest show in professional wrestling. It's better than Raw. It's better than AEW Dynamite right now. And I'm not just saying that. It is.
Straight up.
Word. Woo, hell yeah.
Woo, woo.
Good shit. Good shit, guys. So, Caleb, we wish you all the best, my man. God bless you. We hope that you get to all seven continents.
That's the dream.
You got to let me know. Once you debut in Uganda, we're going to have you back on, okay?
Dude, yeah. I'm definitely going to have to hype that up when I get that going.
I'll go with you. If you go, I'll go. Deal?
Dude, I'll go. Let's make it happen.
We'll do it, brother. We'll do it. And I'm going to dress as Kamala. We both have to dress as Kamala. We have. How is Kamala not their kingpin of their federation? He's the only wrestler from Uganda, and they act like he doesn't even exist. We got to talk to them. We got to say, you have to embrace Kamala, especially right now with Kamala Harris being all over the news.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, no. Ugandans are missing their opportunity.
No. They don't know, right, man.
We got to make it.
All right. Well, thanks, Caleb. I got to address one more thing before we go. You're welcome to stay on or
I'll address it. Screw it. I'll listen to you.
Hell so yeah. I just want to tell everyone listening, I made a mistake earlier when I said I called Brett Lauderdale personally. Mike Hamilton actually made the phone call for me from Hybrid Wrestling. So I don't want to seem like I'm trying to act like, I'm the guy. No, Mike from Hybrid helped us out. So thank you, Mike, on that. I did not speak to Brett on the phone today. So I just wanted to get that clear. I don't want to take any credit for anything that I'm not doing. So, but thank you guys for understanding. And as far as the Kogar brothers, they can't do our November 2nd event. So that's the reason we're not going to have them anytime soon, but we are going to reach back out and try to get them back as soon as possible. There's still an option of possibly running a December date. We don't know for sure yet. But right now, November 2nd is what we have. That's the next date. And like I said, that's what we have so far. Facade, Danny Moe, Tasha Steeles, Simon Gotch, Todd Gordon returns. And of course, Christina Marie, our champion, is back. Plus Bufa and Big 80s, Donnie B. will be there.
Sir.
Tickets available now at SpoWrestling.com.
That's it. All right, guys. Well, thank you for everything. Donnie, any last words you want to say?
No, I think one of the pluses of a show like this, we get to, I mean, Caleb's been all over and he's done a lot, but getting to come on here and just talk at his own pace with no pressure, like this kind of environment, I think is really important for talents all over, not just at Caleb's level, but just to come on and have a good interaction and dialect to, it makes you more comfortable when you do have to get behind the mic or talk in front of people or do promos. That's what I love about this show. You never know who's going to come on. And tonight was a real eye-opener for me. I learned a lot. And I want to thank Caleb for coming on and giving my best to, you know, all those guys at High Spots and all your friends out there, man. Just tell them we said what's up. And everybody's welcome to come on this show whenever they want.
Absolutely. Yeah. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, brother.
The guy that you said started High Spots. The gentleman's name. I'd love to have him on.
Michael Bakika. I could talk to him, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome.
Anytime, probably he's he's behind WrestleCon too. So around WrestleCon time, he's one to hit the podcast the whole lot.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Awesome. Perfect. Good shit, brother. Thank you, man. Yeah. God bless.
Thank you for coming on.
All right, man. Anytime. I appreciate it, guys.
Have a good one, everybody.
See you, man.
Peace.